Hi, everyone. It's Sarah, and this one is for all the writers out there. For the last decade, I've been teaching a class called Mastering the Art of Great Conflict, and I've always done it in person at conferences and universities. And thanks to a global pandemic, I haven't given it for 2 years, but we figured out a way to make it available online, and I figured out a way to make it really robust. It's a 2-hour class followed by a panel with multiple authors who we at VedaMates and I, in my head, think do conflict really great, and a week-long message board Q&A situation, sharing resources, talking about conflict prompts, talking about books that do it well, authors who do it great. And if you struggle with conflict or are just starting out and really want to make sure that you're nailing conflict in your manuscript, I hope this class and workshop and week-long experience will be worth your while. It's online the week of August 7th, but everything will be recorded and made available for people who sign up, and you can find information about that in show notes, as always, or at sarahmclain.net and click on writing class. Hope to see you there.
Hello, Sarah.
Hey, it's summertime.
It is summertime. You know how I know that? If you were trying to dry laundry outside in Chicago today, it would not dry.
It would not work.
No.
Listen, you know what I realized? I am in my 40s, and I have never lived in a home that has central air conditioning.
That's sad for you, because it's nice.
Listen, I know a lot of you out there just gasp, but when you grow up in New England,
sure,
and then you live in New York City in, like, old buildings. So I realized today was the first time that I had a moment where I was like, oh, I need an air conditioner in this room. We have plenty of air conditioners or window air conditioners, but my office now has a door on it, which is a plus, but it does not have an air conditioner, which is a minus.
Yeah, when we moved into this, our current home, it was the first time, but we've been here for like 12 years, that we had like central air and our own washer and dryer.
It's amazing. I mean, it really does feel... It feels like when you talk to people from, well, my husband is from California and thinks that this is for the birds living this way. So, yeah, it's summer. It's summertime.
Well, and we have some fun things planned. So we are going to a PolyCon, which is a
very
fun.
Exciting.
I'm actually really getting really excited about seeing people. Yeah.
Have we talked about how tickets sold out for a PolyCon, for the Fated Mates Live at a PolyCon in like 10 hours. That was amazing.
I think it was less. I think it was like 6.
I'm so excited about seeing all of your faces there. Please remember it is masks
required. Yeah.
Required. Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. I was like, not optional. Masks, yeah. Not optional.
We're going to have a little like gift bag for everybody who comes in, though, including.
There might be an adorable mask in there.
Yeah. So that's really exciting. And I actually reached out to my friend who works at another bookstore in the Chicago area and was like, hey, after this happens, maybe we can do Fated Mates Live at your bookstore.
Well, I want to put a pin in that because I might have other news about Chicago. So I know Jen doesn't even know what the news is, but I have a book coming out at the end of the summer and that might be related to Chicago in some way.
I know. I'm really excited. So Heartbreaker's coming. A big summer, everybody.
Big summer. Heartbreaker comes August 23rd. And you can pre-order it right now from wherever you get your books,
yeah,
including our favorite bookstores, Love Sweet Arrow in the Chicago area, right. Word Bookstores in the Brooklyn area, and Old Town Books in Alexandria, Virginia.
And I will be there, you know, I will be in New York. I will be in the New York, Connecticut, I don't know what it's called, the tri-state area.
The
is that what you call
area.
It? The tri-state
yeah,
area.
Okay. It.
I will be in the tri-state area around right after your book comes out to take Little Romance back to college.
So we could just hang out and celebrate Adelaide, yeah, and Claiborne.
Exactly. I also think we should, you know, there's a bookstore in Middletown, Connecticut where Little Romance goes to college. And I am kind of like, why don't I just call them and be like, hi, Sarah and I would like to come.
Well, listen.
And have an event.
Jennifer, you're jumping the gun on that, too. I'm probably going to have some information on Middletown, Connecticut as well.
Oh my God, I'm
Wait,
so excited.
Isn't it, there are two of them. There's one
There's
in Madison.
There's two of them, yeah.
And I think it's the Madison one, but whatever. Anyway, stay tuned, everyone, for information about where you can see me and Jen and books.
together at last.
I mean,
it's so rare to have us talking about books around you. So.
I mean, exactly. They're like, wait, what? So that's really exciting.
And then we have other stuff, too, that's exciting. There are new stickers that we're going to launch that we're super excited about. There might be some new merch coming. Look, Faded Mates, we've got you.
We've got you.
Season 5 is going to be
Magnificent
alive.
Firebirds. We're just taking off.
We are. But first things first, it's July 6th when we are recording this. This episode is going to be about beach reads. And when we talked about this, we were pretty clear with each other that we didn't just want it to be about, like, books that you can read at the beach.
Yes. Books where there's sand in them.
Books where there's sand. And also, I indicated it really should be sex on the beach.
Right. Well, okay. So listen, I want to talk about, so I was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And then it was a little harder than I thought. And I want to talk about our strategies for finding
it
these.
It is not super easy because, look, anybody who's ever been near sex and a beach at the same time, I mean, I'm not saying I have, but I'm just saying I might have. There's a lot of grit.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the most comfortable experience.
No, yeah.
And so I think, like, you know, there does come a level of, like, well, maybe this is one of those lines romance doesn't like to cross.
Okay, so I also think, all right, so a couple things happened to me.
Headphones in, you guys.
Oh, for sure.
Headphones in on this one.
I found it difficult also to, like, use my regular strategies for finding books because if you say, like, romance novel, beaches, it's giving you instead a list of, like beach reads. Like, that means something in,
like,
our culture.
Emily Henry's beach read is not a sex on the beach book.
So, like, it was just hard to kind of, like, how do I narrow down what's in my brain and find the books I've read with this, right?
Okay, so what was your strategy?
Okay, so I started Googling things other than beach read, right? So I was like, seaside town romance novels or like vacation romance novels or like Florida or California romance novels. So
sure.
I really was like, okay, I have to like outsmart the Google search here. Mm-hmm. So that's how I ended up actually kind of coming up with more of them, was like using this strategy.
Interesting.
And then as I started thinking about it, I then had some books like kind of pop up into my brain. And so that was the other thing. Okay, listen, everybody, Sarah's Kindle does something mine will not, and I don't know why.
I don't like this for you. I'm gonna
hate
be honest.
It because I have tried what you're about to describe to find my, you know, okay, everybody knows there's a book I've been searching for forever where the guy zips two sleeping bags back together because it's going to be their last night together. And she thinks somebody else does it, but it's him because he's like, it's our last night together. I cannot find this book anywhere. And I've tried. Someone's like, oh, you can search your whole Kindle at once.
Oh, mine doesn't do that.
Okay, well then.
Okay, so my strategy, okay. Let me just talk about what my strategy was. My strategy was I sat with myself.
Oh, wait. Sarah, we've not said welcome to Faded Mates.
Oh. Welcome, everyone, to Faded Mates. I'm Sarah McLean. I read romance novels, and I write them.
I'm Jennifer Prokop, a romance reader and editor, and I don't know how my Kindle works. It's fine.
And listen, longtime listeners will be happy to know we still forget to introduce ourselves most days.
Who's, like, ready to launch into this whole theory?
I know, okay. But now there's, like, theme music playing.
Sure.
And, like, we're supposed to banter over the theme music, but then, like, now we're in it, and I want everybody to get the full force of my strategy.
All right, so we're ready. We're ready for your strategy.
The theme music might be a little shorter this week than it usually is, and that's because my strategy was that I sat with myself and I said, Sarah, where are the books? What are the books you remember being set in places that have beaches? So I made a list of like all the like historicals that I could think of that were set like in beach towns like Spindle Cove,
right?
And I tested their Spindle Cove series, and I made a list of all the books I could think of that were set like in in the Florida Keys or like in Miami, like Priscilla Oliveris was there.
Yep.
And then, but Priscilla writes closed door romances. So I knew she wasn't going to suit this, although her books are delicious. And then I opened those books on my Kindle and searched the word sand.
Okay. That would work fine.
But the problem is that sometimes there's just this reference to sand, like, oh, I looked out on the sandy beach. Well, that's not going to do it. So then it was some deep diving on those scenes, and I did come up with five of them.
Oh, okay. I don't think that at some point, I had to let go of Sex on the Beach because it was harder to find than I thought. You're like, I did it. I have one for sure.
I'm just not committed to it. I don't know what to say.
Well, okay, here's now.
Really
I'm gonna,
phoning in this episode, Jen.
No. Now we are going to get to my, I have a theory, okay? Which is because I was like, Jennifer, this is me talking to myself. There are 800 million fucking books with like a beach chair on the cover. And then I realized those are almost always entirely women's fiction.
Adirondack chairs are a false start.
And so then I had this moment where I was like, maybe like mainstream romance just doesn't do beaches. Because
do you think, is it because of my reason?
No, I think it's then because
the sand gets everywhere.
Okay, obviously, yes. But I really think that like romance writers have ceded beach towns to these like wan women's fiction books.
Yeah, Jen's talking about like books that you find in May in, you know, hardcover in Walmart.
Yeah.
And they have like a set of Adirondack chairs. Wait, we have to talk about this because this is relevant to our interests, maybe. Okay, but did you know that a pair of Adirondack chairs like in the world means something different than this book is going to be like a quiet women's fiction story?
It really, is this like a pineapple thing?
Yes.
Really?
Okay. So apparently, if you have, and I mean, listen, we will keep everybody's names private, but please confirm or deny this. Listen, the joy that I have, P.S., thank you to everybody who contacted us about ukulele recommendations last week. It was awesome. The joy that I have when we say, somebody check in from Nebraska, and then someone checks in from Nebraska. Like, it's same. Magical, the power that I feel we have. But anyway, please let us know if this is true. My understanding is that if you have two Adirondack chairs on your front lawn, it actually means that you're open to swinging.
We're down to fuck.
Yeah.
Huh. Meanwhile, on the front of a book, it means we are not down to fuck. Okay, so this is like sort of then became my working theory is I was like, okay, so perhaps mainstream romance has seeded the like beach getaway setup because it is one of the things about these stories is they're like, it's about finding yourself. Like I've gone somewhere different and now that I am not in my home or at my job or with my family, I can essentially like really think about who I am, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like kind of built into that system in a way that like a romance, like, okay, so you go away and you have a hot beach fling with somebody, but then how are you going to get with them when you're from different places? Maybe it's just not going to work that way, right? But I do think a lot of really dirty books take place on the beach.
Mm-hmm. Because it's kind of gross.
Yeah. Right? Like, it's real filthy.
I mean, like, with love, it's like kind of, yeah, you right. get it's salty a little scummy. And, like, you're a little bit, you have a film on you.
So I kind of had this moment where I was like, I think what's going on here is the reason it was kind of hard is because mainstream romance, like whatever we're calling that, right? Like sort of contemporary, like romance.
Like commercial fiction.
Commercial fiction has sort of taken over the beach to mean one thing. And then you got like real dirty erotic romance doing something else. And like maybe mainstream romance is like, you know, we're just going to like leave that.
We're
going to
let those ladies have that.
We're going to let them have that. I will take this scumbag in the workplace. That's where I live. Right?
Yeah. I like it. I think that's probably fair.
Yeah. So that's my theory. So although I have a list, I think maybe only one of them is actually like Sex on the Beach versus Sex in a hotel room overlooking the beach. Or we started making out on the beach and then went back to the hotel room where there's no sand.
I got you.
Okay.
I will say.
Amazing.
Everyone, I'll do the heavy lifting on this one.
All right. So, Sarah, you should start then.
Well, what do you want to start with? Do you want to start with the sort of like...
Start with Sex on the Beach.
You want... All right. We'll just jump right in.
Jump right in.
Well, yeah. So we're going to start with a historical because I initially... Because I feel like Sex on the Beach, like true sex on the beach, like water and sand... has to have come to me in an old school historical before it. Like, I feel like I have a lot of like hazy memories of like people on beaches. Like,
interesting.
You know.
I feel like they're always like rivers, like where, you know.
But also, I read a lot of pirate books when I was growing up.
Oh,
so,
that's
like,
true.
I think like pirates, there's got to be beaches in all those books, right?
Pirates. Sure.
Like, if the book is on a boat, it feels like there's got to be sand.
Okay, fair.
But anyway, I don't know. I can't confirm that. That is just me. That's my hypothesis. But I want to talk actually about an author who we have talked about, we did a deep dive once, but like many, many people sort of complain that we don't talk about her more. And that is Mary Ballig. And I want to talk about The Survivors Club, which is the one, like that is one of the series that she has where that is, you know, lauded. And, you know, nobody does a war hero, a sort of conflicted war hero like Mary Ballig. And part of what she does so well with these books is she has, so the Survivors Club is a group of, I think it's like six or seven men who were all in the Napoleonic Wars together and they are now home. And some of them now have disabilities and some of them are, you know, most of them suffer from like severe PTSD. And the first one, this is the first book, The Proposal, which is the first book in the series, the hero, Hugo, is, he has like his deep rooted conflict is that he is lauded by the whole world as a war hero and like women everywhere just like fall over themselves whenever he walks into a room. But the truth is that he's keenly aware of the fact that like of all the people that he saved, he also caused a lot of death. Like there,
right.
This is one of those, we've never done a military romance episode and this is part
Season
of the reason
five.
Why, right?
It's on
like
our list,
there's
too.
Military experiences are complicated, and it is not always the case that a romance novelist like tackles the complications that come from military experience. And so, but Mary Ballig does, and this book, The Proposal, is so Gwen, the heroine, is a widow, and she's sort of like quiet and unassuming, and she also has she suffered a fall from a horse, and so she, you know, has a limp, and she sort of like is very much in her whole life is very interior, and she's in this like seaside town, and Hugo, we meet Hugo along with all the rest of the survivors in chapter one. This is a real old school, like a real historical setup. Like you're about to meet the seven men who will be the seven heroes of this series, right? They're all like sitting around talking. And it's great. And so you sort of get a peek at all of them. And he says, like, I got to get married. Like, I got to find a wife. And he's like middle class, but he knows he needs to get married. And like, that's one of the things that he has set to do. And they're basically like, well, you're so good looking and women seem to love you that you could just go to the beach, like go down to the beach. And so like women will just like come out of the surf and like follow your feet.
Sure. That's the way it works.
Fine. So he does go to the beach and he meets Gwen at this beach. I mean, he doesn't go looking for a wife, but like they're at the beach. And so he meets Gwen and they have this like really beautiful, like very lovely. I mean, part of what I love about Mary Ballig's books is like, the romances are so romantic because she really gives them a long, like slow burn of like, pining, like they really fall. These are characters who fall in love on the page. But also like Gwen is a woman who like, she's a widow. She's had experience and like, she's not a virgin. Like she's sort of like, okay, I'm like, this man is attractive. And like, I think he's a decent person. And we're here on this beach at night and I kind of want to bang.
And I love it.
And it's like super hot in a way because like she's like keenly aware, like she's keenly aware of like all the physicality around her. Like she thinks about how hard the sand is beneath her back. And like she thinks about like the feeling of him inside her, like with the beach around them, like and the salt on his skin. And like it's a very visceral love. Like it's a really visceral like sex scene. And also the rest of the book is very emotional and like he's going through his trauma and she's going through her trauma and like you know,
nobody does that.
Like listen, Mary these are not, like, no, there are no, there is nothing like super fun about this book.
Right.
But it is a if you are looking for a book that is really romantic and takes itself very seriously and does romance in a really serious way, this one's for you.
This week's episode of Fated Mates is sponsored by Julie Puckrin, creator of SkyMed, now streaming on Paramount Plus.
This is the best. SkyMed is a show. It is a one-hour drama, a series about intense personal lives of sexy young nurses and pilots flying air ambulances in remote northern Canada. And Julie knows the job.
Because, first of all, in the trailer, there is so much kissing. I was immediately like, this is a show I will watch.
Listen, when Julie describes this to us, she said, this is one part medical show, two parts character drama, and all parts addictive kissing show. And she promises that there are eight main characters, and they all of them have their own romance stories.
This is what I want. Stern brunch daddy, sunshine and grump, all kinds of different pairings, pining, remote small towns, found family, kissing.
It's gonna be great. You can download Paramount Plus right now and subscribe to watch SkyMed. And if, well, I don't know what else to say.
We don't know what else to say except that we're into it. Thank you to Julie for sponsoring this week's episode of Fated Mates. They don't have sex on the beach, but I was going to talk about Devil in Spring by Lisa Kleypas because when I read this a couple of years ago, right, Pandora and it's St. Vincent's son is the new St. Vincent, right? Because St. Vincent is now the Duke of Kingston. And Gabriel essentially gets kind of caught in a compromising position with her. I know we've probably talked about this book before. It's terrific. But he and Pandora, like, just does not want to get married. And everyone's like, wait, what? So she and her, she essentially gets invited to their beach house, right? And when I read this book, I really remember thinking, like, I don't remember seeing this in a historical set in England, right? Like, it's balls, it's London, right? Sometimes it's like, you know, some pastoral, bucolic, you know, country estate. But the idea of them actually, like, going to the beach, and because so it just felt really kind of fun to me. I mean, like, you know, they kind of make out in like this, like they have the chaperone is his older sister and her kids. And they like kind of get stuck behind and they like make out in some tunnel. And, you know, but there's like this whole thing about like a bathing machine where she's supposed to change and like, you know, like bathing costumes. And, you know, and I really did when I read it was like, this feels genuinely, I don't know, like kind of fresh in a way that I really, it's, I mean, I guess you're right. I mean, I must have read a bunch of, I read a bunch of pirate romances, you know, when I was first reading romance, surely those scenes existed, but for whatever reason, this scene at the beach, like them going to the seaside, as a getaway really did feel, I don't know, just like, I was like, oh, this feels really different to me.
Yeah. So, well, but the Hathaways, that's, you have
I've never
read the
Hathaways. Yeah.
There's, the Hathaways is very focused on, like, they all, like, they're, it's beachside.
Oh, okay.
So there's clearly, like, in fact, there must be a Hathaway book that, I mean, it's not all beachside, but, like, there is some beachside stuff there. So there must be, there might, there probably is. I mean, Kleypas is a dirty bird. There's definitely like
somebody's fucking on the beach.
Somewhere, somebody's doing something on the beach.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, I think, like I said, I think historicals, well, again, it goes back to what we talk about a lot with historicals, which is like you can sort of wave away the
Right.
The, like, complicated bits about it.
Well, and I mean, like, Joanna Shoup's latest series is set in Newport, Rhode Island,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, so I kind of felt like in historicals, it feels like, okay, maybe there's some cool stuff out there, right? Now, in the first book, there's kind of like a scavenger hunt, and it's, I don't think it's on the beach. It's, you know, on the grounds of this big estate or whatever, right? There's no beach sex, but certainly that idea of like, the historical, like, beach setting is kind of an interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that was, like, the one historical I was, like, is, like, Dublin's.
Well, and I do want to say, like, if you like seaside romance, right? So there's the Hathaways, there's, I mean, again, not entirely the Hathaways, but some of the Hathaways books, there is Spindle Cove.
Spindle Cove.
You really can't talk about seaside historicals without talking about Tessa Dare's Spindle Cove series, which has a very charming setup in case you don't know and you are out there. The setup is there are a group of women who are like basically every good family sends their spinster daughter to this, like, to age and while away in this, like, seaside town in Devon or wherever it is. Might be Cornwall. I can't remember. But, and so they call this, so it's, the town is called Spindle Cove, but London calls it Spinster Cove. And, like, it's the perfect small town setup, but
yeah.
Regency, right? So they each own, you know, each woman has like a piece of the pie in this town. And then, of course, like just a shocking number of men tumble into the town.
Well, did I ever tell you? I don't know if I've ever told you this. My friend, a friend of mine who's a lesbian, enjoys romance and was like, I tried reading those books, but I literally just didn't understand why these women weren't getting together. And I was like, that seems like a reasonable question for us to ask.
Also, yeah. they're deeply charming. Like,
oh, I think absolutely.
Cove, I really believe Spindle Cove is Tessa's, like,
it's
crowning
so,
series.
Yeah, and it's really fun.
And if you haven't read those and you are out there right now going, I'm going to the beach during, like, this hellscape of a time, and I wish I had something fun to read, Spindle Cove is your answer. I'm going to throw out another seaside town series, and then the rest of mine are Sex on the Beach books.
Okay.
I want to talk about Jill Shalvis. I want to talk about her Lucky Harbor series.
Oh, yeah.
Again, like, as you said, from the jump, Jen, like, these are often towns, like small towns or, you know, whatever. So Lucky Harbor is God knows how long, 200 books long by now because Jill writes so fast. But the first three books in the series are about three sisters who inherit an inn in a seaside town in Washington. Now, the Pacific is very cold, so there probably isn't a ton of watering going on.
Not without a wetsuit.
Not without a wetsuit. But the second one, which is called The Sweetest Thing, is my favorite. And it is the heroine, Tara, is the oldest of the three siblings, and she has gone through a pretty, she's gone through a divorce with a man who she does not, who they just do not suit, she and her ex-husband, but he is like sex on a stick, and she needs to get away from him. And I think this is like a very charming setup because honestly, like, that's a real thing for a lot of divorced women or, like, women who have been through breakups. Like, they just can't quit that, like, man who they know is not good for them.
Right.
So she goes, they've inherited this inn, a place that she, back to Lucky Harbor, where she has not been since she was 17 years old, and she had a summer fling with, like, a hot townie named Ford, who ended up making a bunch of money as a boat racer, which...
Sure. I love it.
I don't know if that's real, but I'm for it. So he's, like, made all this money as a boat racer, and now he's back in Lucky Harbor, and he owns the bar. And she walks in, and, like, look, Jill Shalvis knows the job.
Yes.
And she walks into town, and he takes one look at her and is like, that is the girl from when we were 17 that summer, and I cannot quit her. I have never been able to stop thinking about her. Mine. And so
great.
They have this, like, fling that is, like, you know, hot and great. And then the ex-husband turns up and he's like, I maybe want you back. And she's like, oh, but he's still my, like, and then it's like, she has this like guy she couldn't quit. And this guy who like is the best and a boat racer. And, you know, if you like sex on boats.
Sure. Who doesn't?
I mean, that's a whole separate episode. But
that is a whole separate episode. Yeah. A book that anyway, blooded me by Elizabeth Lowell was Sex on a Boat. It doesn't. Listen, it's not good, though.
But listen, here's what I'll say about all of that. Lucky Harbor is another one. If you are going to the beach for a week and you just want, like, download the first one on your Kindle. It's set in, the first one is like a Christmas book. It's set in the winter. Down the first one and just, like, eat them like candy all week long.
Yeah, they're great. Jill Shelvis delivers every time.
Yeah.
Right? Delivers yeah. every time.
Like Nora Roberts. Like, just...
Well, I was going to say, you know, one of my favorite...
the book done.
Yeah, one of my favorite Nora Roberts series is the Chesapeake Bay series, where they're all... It's in Baltimore, and they're all, like, on the, you know, on the Chesapeake Bay.
Sure.
And they're building boats and stuff. I, like, have really vivid memories of liking that series, too. Sure. So, but yeah, I mean, to me, like,
also,
that's...
Also, I'm going
to
say it. Fun fact, Jill has been very vocal about yeah. the Dobbs decision this week, so...
Yeah, you know, a real champ.
As has Tessa. So both of those are good.
Yeah, exactly. So along with the Nora Roberts series, you mentioned the Priscilla Oliveira series.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Also, before we jump into more, I also just want to name check Amanda Quick's Ravished, where it's not on the beach, but it is in a watery cave. So like there's probably sand adjacent.
Sand adjacent. You quickly mentioned Priscilla Oliveris's, all of her books are set in Florida, but the Keys to Love series in particular is just like really rooted in like the beach town of Key West. Again, they're closed door, but I feel like if you really want, like, I literally want this book to be set on the beach.
Priscilla's books are so good.
Wonderful.
They're yeah. so good.
Yeah.
And like such like rich. Like a rich fabric of characters. Like it's mm-hmm. just, they're just big, meaty books that
yeah.
are fun.
Yeah, I agree.
And romantic.
I have a novella called The Beach. Thank you. Truth in Advertising by R.S. Gray. And this is a novella, like a true novella. It's maybe 50 pages. That is two characters who get together and then like a bigger book. Like, their kind of side romance happens in this book, but it is, like, hinted at in another book. Does that make sense? So it's like, so in this book, Lindsay and Noah Noah is her best friend's brother. And she's always had a crush on him, but, like, she's been with someone, he's been with someone. They both live in Boston, but there's going to be a big family trip to Mexico. And so it's going to be her, you know, Lindsay and her boyfriend, Noah, her best friend, her family, kids, right? So they're basically going to all be in some, you know, like big, like almost like extended suite with like lots of different rooms, whatever. But the week of the vacation, she has just broken up with her boyfriend. Really last minute, the sister and her family can't come because one of their kids are sick. So all of a sudden, it is her and Noah together in this posh Mexican kind of resort. And there's a lot of pining, right? Like, it's just really like, we are pining for each other. But like, should we do this? Should we not do this? Like, we, you know, we've been in each other's orbit for so long. Do we really want to like take that step? And it's really, there's a lot of like kind of push. There's not a whole lot of conflict in this book, right? Like it's really like these two are kind of meant to be. It's just them a little dancing around whether or not they really want to take this step. And then they finally do. It's hot. You know, they bang it out after a couple's massage. And the part that's then really funny, spoiler alert, is they decide, like, well, we really should tell my sister, right? Like, this isn't going to end. This isn't just a vacation fling. So they get on, like, a Zoom call with her, you know, his sister, her best friend, And it turns out that no one was sick. They just decided to finally put these two together in the same place so they could get together.
Like, amazing.
You know, the sister's like, yeah, I've been waiting for this to happen. So it was just like, it's like low conflict, just like kind of longing, banging, and then like, boom. And it was very delightful.
Amazing.
Perfect.
I love it.
Me too. They do not actually bang on the beach. They're making out on the beach. And one of the resort people interrupts them and is like, maybe you should go to the room.
Oh, my God. I have, like, a very similar book.
Perfect.
So okay. Here we go. Making out on the beach. An interstitial inside an interstitial.
Right.
Okay, I want to talk about C. Travis Rice, who is going to be a Fated Mates Live in Perfect. Alexandria. So C. Travis Rice is the pen name of Christopher Rice, who also writes thrillers and sometimes vampires. So in Sapphire Sunset, there are two books. I've only read this one, the first one. It's a series. There's like a Southern California luxury resort.
That sounds nice.
Yeah. You're just back from LA. So I know. So one of the heroes, Logan, is a former Marine who is now working in security at this resort. And he's like doing it for like noble reasons. Like his dad is sick and he needs to pay the bills. Of course, as part of this story, that's never enough. Essentially like the son of the owner, like the man who is going to inherit like all the resort money, Connor, is his boss essentially, right? Mm-hmm. And these two are just very into each other, like super hot, both of them. They kind of know that neither of them can, it can't work on a number of levels. It can't work because of class. It can't work because, like, technically Logan works for Connor. Like, it can't work for lots and lots of reasons, but they're just super into each other. And, also, as part of it, like, Connor, there has a little bit of a celebrity edge because he's, like, just, he's pretty famous, Connor, like, mm-hmm. for being a, like, you know, Succession famous. Like, he's just, like, a billionaire kid. And so, like, the paparazzi are, like, the media is very interested in them. And there are, it's, like, a very, it's it has sort of a kind of thread of, like, danger banging through this book. Like, there's a very emotional rescue on the beach that ends with, like, a hot and heavy makeout that is for sure going to be taken, like, people are taking pictures of it and video with it.
Ooh.
And he, like, they have to, you know, take it private. Anyway, it's great. Very sexy. This is like a, if you're looking for just like a sexy, fun series that is, or this book, I'm not sure the second book is actually out yet, but if you're looking for like a sexy, fun series that has like just a touch of action in it, or like a touch of thriller in this, this one might be for you. Sapphire Sunset by C. Travis Rice.
This week's episode of Fated Mates is sponsored by Avon Books, publishers of American Royalty by Tracy Livesey.
So we are avowed Tracy Livesey fans at Fated Mates, and this book is no different. The heroine of this book is a sexy, driven rapper named Dani Nelson, who the world calls Duchess. And I think this is so charming because she ends up being invited to perform through a confluence of events at a major concert hosted by the royal family of the United Kingdom. Run by this, like, reclusive grandson named Prince Jameson, who actually just prefers being a professor by day and a sort of recluse by night. But his grandmother has roped him into setting up this concert. And what ends up happening is this prince and Duchess, the rapper, fall wildly in love. They have a lot of really hot sex, and they have to deal with the fallout of the royal family having to deal with a American rapper falling for one of their own.
It is a terrific book if you love royalty, if you love family drama, if you love really high stakes romance.
If you're looking for a romance that's like Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, this one's for you.
You can find out more about Tracy at her website, TracyLivesey.com, or on Twitter, Instagram, or on Facebook. American Royalty is available in print, ebook, and audio. Thank you to Avon Books for sponsoring this week's episode of Fated Mates. I actually have a related, perhaps, I'm going to like jump off from that, a book called Loving a Warrior by Melanie Hansen. And I have maybe briefly talked about this book, but not a lot. And the reason it actually stuck out to me is because, like, I was like, I really was like, okay, brain, beach scenes, right? And this book is about two men who essentially meet on the beach the day before they both start Navy SEAL training. And basically, the main character is one of the main characters is this guy named Matt. Yeah. And he's out like running on the beach and like doing what Navy SEALs about to go into training do, like, you know, all this crazy like running and jumping and all this stuff. And he ends up literally tripping over this really hot guy who the next day, as they start, he realizes is also in Bud's training. And I think the thing that's like really interesting about this book, I was looking back at like my review of it, is I said in a lot of ways, this almost reads like what I would call like men's fiction, right? Like these two are like think about what we mean when we say women's fiction. Like I'm struggling internally with myself and my job and who I am. How am I going to fit love into my life, right? Like what are the things I promised myself in the past? Do I still want to achieve them, right? Essentially, you get all those same kinds of like problems that they each are really like bringing to the table as they like fall in love against the backdrop of the military, which, you know, isn't exactly the most welcoming place, especially when you're talking about the most hardcore part of it, right? Like the SEALs. But I really did like the book a lot. I don't think they actually have sex on the beach, but, you know, they almost drowned on the beach because they're trying to be Navy SEALs. So I thought maybe that was
close. That counts. Death.
A little death.
Death and sex.
On the beach.
A little death on the beach.
I just want you to appreciate
what the French call a little death on the beach. Okay, it's time to go bananas. I've got some big bananas books here to talk about. So here's what I'm going to offer you. Do you want a banana setting or a bananas plot?
Do a bananas setting first.
Okay. I want to talk about Lacey Alexander, who I don't think...
Oh, I was going to talk about Lacey Alexander!
Too. Which Are one?
You, the Bikini Diaries.
Oh, I'm going to talk about what she needs. Look at us.
I was like, we have never, I really, we're like peeling open the vault on this one.
We never talked about Lacey Alexander before. And my God, I have been reading her for, I mean.
Ever. Every single one of her books is on my Kindle, Sarah.
Yeah, same. Oh my God. We've never talked about her.
Well, because it's like erotic with a little plus side of romance.
Yeah,
I guess it's erotic romance. It's erotic romance.
Mine is, Bikini Diaries is a little, like, less on the romance, but mine is on the romance.
Sarah, I love you.
Fated Mates.
Okay, you go first.
Okay. I'm going to talk about What She Needs, which is set in a place called Hotel Erotique.
Sure.
Okay, our heroine Jenna is, like, has a very ordinary, boring life. Like, in the world. And through romance plot, she is given access to this, like, elaborate... It's possibly on an island. I can't really remember. It doesn't matter. This, like, resort called Hotel Erotique. And when you go there, you are given, like, an erotic guide... His name is Brent. And this guy's job is to, like, make Jenna's fantasies come true. So, like, you fill out a form, you tell them all the things that you're interested in. You, like, basically say, like, I'm into princess kink, or, like, my fantasy is, like, you know, whatever. I don't know, horseback riding and fucking, I don't know, whatever. Sex on a horse,
sex
right?
on a horse, sure.
Like, it's whatever it is. And then, like, essentially, this erotic guide makes all of this happen for you. And over the course of this, so it's nonsense, you guys. It's true. It's like pure. It's just like the set. It's just a sex book.
Except, listen, it's great though.
Yeah. Except Brent. And so, like, Brent and Jenna start to, they like feel a connection. And mm-hmm. like, the like conflict is, oh, but he's her erotic guide and she's right. a client and what, who cares? No one cares. So, but then there's this great moment where she's like revealed that she has like a pirate kink, which, you know, so say we all. And so like it's set up that like she's going, so that what they do is in the morning you get a letter in your bungalow and it basically says you've been invited to like this fantasy and it is on a, you know, mm-hmm. you are going to be the only survivor of a shipwreck on an island. There's plenty of food, but like who knows what will happen on the island. And so like they bring her out and like leave her on like a beach. And Brent comes in dressed like a pirate, acting the part of a pirate, and they like bang it out in the sand. And it is great. It's great.
So you know that Lexi Alexander is a pen name for author Tony Blake.
I did know that. And Tony Blake writes like lovely contemporary sure. small town romance.
I know. Sometimes I want to write her a little like, hey, bring back
can I tell
Lexi
you,
Alexander.
I met Yeah. Tony writes, for a long time, she wrote for Avon. And so okay. we met a number of times at RWA when RWA was happening. And I, at one point, was like talking to her about what she was writing about. And she was like, oh, well, and I also like write under this pen name, Lacey Alexander. And I flipped the way that we just flipped at each other. I was like, yeah. I love your books. Oh my God.
Well, and the thing that's really interesting is these books were published by Berkeley.
Yeah, they're
in 2009.
Long time ago.
I looked because one of the things that's really interesting about, okay, so let me talk about my book and then I'll tell you kind of the thing that's interesting when you read them now. So the Bikini Diaries is set in, it was written in 2009. And there's a really specific way that it feels very dated. And in this book, Wendy is our main character and she is like, going to some Florida resort for a job. And she sees this woman, this like beautiful woman walking in the sand, wearing a white bikini. And she just really feels like whatever that woman's vibe is that's who I wish I could be, right? Like I'm too locked down. I'm too scared to try new things. And I'm just going to really like embrace my inner white bikini lady while I'm here. And she meets this guy, Brandon, who is like the owner of the resort. And these two bang it out all over the resort with his best friend, with another woman. There's like lots of, I mean, like it's, you know, there's some voyeurism. I mean, it's like really like kind of she's trying everything. And this is like a big part of like her journey is like, I want to try everything. The one way in which these books seem very dated to me is like Wendy, and I think this is true across these books, and maybe it was just that time, right? Is that Wendy is very preoccupied with like the male gaze, right? Like, so there's a part where they are with another woman, so they have a threesome with another woman, and like Wendy's pretty into it, but she sort of like the self talk is like, I'm into it because he's into it.
Right. I like him watching me.
I like him watching me being with this other woman versus I want to be with this other woman. Mm-hmm. And that kind of part of it feels like I would say that's the part to me that feels very dated when I've like reread them, because it just feels like now you would be able to have characters who are like, yeah, I'm into it because I'm into it. Right? Like, this is fun and I'm having a good time. I don't have to sort of justify
that. It's like
that,
there needs
right?
to be permission to be bisexual in the past.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. So I just want to point that out I am not the most sensitive person to these things and it is glaring. So I would imagine it's probably like the biphobia mm-hmm. or whatever that we'd call that. So I still think that these books are like worth reading, but I just feel like I am able to be like, this is a time and place thing. It just feels dated and I kind of just like blow past it. But mm-hmm. as I was rereading, I was like, oh yeah, there's that weird thing. But the book is really hot and it's really very much like erotic romance in the sense that like they are going on a journey together, discovering what they're into, and then like essentially deciding to be a couple at the end. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're great. Those books are great.
They really are. I mean, and I have to say, I think like this is right around the time when I discovered erotic romance in ebook.
Yes.
And like I can remember exactly where I was. I was in mm-hmm. Savannah, Georgia, and I was like, oh, I'm just going to lay here in this
and read
hotel
these.
Room and like
yeah.
read all of these books, one yes. right after another.
I think the thing that's also, I will say, is to me, it feels almost shocking how expensive these books are now.
Oh, yeah. I just looked it up. It's $12.
Yes. Like these books. And I, by the way, did not pay that much for them
no.
back then. Right?
No way.
These are books now. So I guess I would say, you know, I was like, wow, this book is $12. And it feels like almost because... you know, just things have really, I guess, really, it feels like books like this now would be on KU maybe, but it's Berkeley and they're, you know, mainstream.
Yeah, it's not Lacey's,
so, yeah,
Lacey's
right.
fault. They're expensive.
No. I guess I would just say if you're like, oh, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out. Just look over which ones you might want to get with, but because they're expensive, but. Worth it.
But long.
But long,
you know, they're not,
also.
Yeah, they're not short.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. These are books that
are
These are
full-length books.
Full-length books that are like 70% sex. Maybe more.
So if that's what you're looking for, we yeah. have you. We've
yeah.
got you. No problem. Pirate boning. I'm for it.
Perfect.
All right. Then I have one more.
I have one more, too, but it'll, I think, be good. So.
Okay. I want to talk about the Rush duet by Vi Keeland and Penelope Ward.
All right.
Okay, so if you are concerned about spoilers, you're just going to have to skip ahead because I'm going to spoil this book for Jen because I know she won't read it because there's a cliffhanger in the middle
yeah,
of it.
Probably not.
But also, I feel that it is important for us to acknowledge that Vi Keeland and Penelope Ward, just like they just write for the fences. Okay, so the setting is the Hamptons in the summer. The heroine has received, she's like got it, she sold like a small book deal. Like she has like for two contemporary romances set at the beach. And so, but she wrote the first three, she sold them on spec, which is, you know, whatever. She sold them on spec. She sold the first three chapters to her publisher. The publisher bought two books. Now she has to write the books. She now has a slight case of writer's block. So her editor or agent or whoever is like, you should go to the Hamptons for the summer. Rent a room in a house in one of these big Hamptons houses. And you can, you know, hang out at the Hamptons and like write a seaside town romance there. Fine. She goes out. She gets a job. So she like rents a room in like one of these big. So for those of you who don't know, like it's a very common thing in New York City for like people in their early 20s to like pool all their resources and like timeshare a big house in the Hamptons for the summer. So she like rents a room in this like timeshare space. One of the roommates there works at a local bar, like kind of is a mess. And so, you know, needs to go somewhere, like needs her to like jump in and run the bar at mm-hmm. this like Hamptons, like big party joint for the night. It's like a Friday night. This woman has never made a drink in her, never mixed a cocktail in her life, right?
Oh boy.
So she's like, she gets behind the bar. She's supposed to mix cocktails. She's doing a terrible job. There's like this asshole at the end of the bar who's like, you're the worst at this. How did you even get this job? Turns out he's the owner of the bar. And like she talks back to him and like stands up to him. And then they like, so then they like start to date. She has, like, he's, of course, like, a bajillionaire, but, like, an estranged grandson from some, like, media mogul in the city, but he kept all of the shares to piss his dad off. He's, like, the bastard son of his father. And she has had this, like, kind of Hamptons experience where, like, she had one-night stand with, like, a terrible dude from the city, and now, like, she's falling for this, like, kind of terrible dude who owns the bar, but, like, he starts to become cooler. Like, better and better. Fine. They start to fall in love, but there's this weird thing that happens in that she doesn't get her period.
Okay.
And so you're like, so she's like, oh, it's been like 7 weeks now. It's August and I haven't had my period. And oops, she has. So she like is now pregnant with the child of the one night stand from the beginning of the summer.
Yikes.
Yikes. So... And they, for reasons I can't remember, like, for legitimate reasons, but, like, romance reasons, they have not had sex, the two of them. So she's like, oh, my God, I'm pregnant, and it's clearly not yours. It's from this, like, one-night stand with this guy who, like, gave me the wrong number. He ghosted me. Fine. So he's like, this is rough. I never wanted to be a dad. Like, this is too much for me. I don't know. But then I'm in love with you. And it's, like, a very intense thing, right? And so, like, the whole book is going on, and it's a lot. And then there are a lot of big feelings. And then at the end, he's like, no, I love you. And she's like, I love you. And he's like, I want to have this baby with you. Like, I want to be this baby's dad, whatever. And so, you know.
Whatever. So,
fine. And then it turns out, this is the cliffhanger of the first book. So they go to, like, I don't know, stick it to his dad and brother, the, like, real heirs to this, like, bajillionaire fortune. They walk in the room. And it turns out that the one-night stand was with his half-brother.
Oh, no.
So the end of the first book is, oops, I'm pregnant from a one-night stand with your half-brother who gave me the wrong number and ghosted me.
If you could see my face right now, everybody.
End of book one. She doesn't tell him. She doesn't tell him that it's him, that it's the brother, that she recognizes the brother. She's just like, it all comes crashing down on her. And then as a reader, you're like, what? Whoa. And I immediately downloaded the next. I mean, like,
of course.
Do not stop, go. Definitely spent the next, you know, bought the next book.
Right.
And then the second the second book is, you know,
figuring it all out.
Bananas. Like, it's now all of it is just tangled up, and now we have to untangle it. It's a lot, very bonkers, but there are some sex. There are a lot of like sexy moments, and it is set in the Hamptons, which is like a classic summer beach
classic town. Beach town. If you're like
full
real rich.
Of billionaires and sure. You know their half brothers just
wandering around, knocking people up.
Yeah,
and that's like
romance. Let me tell you something. Romance novelists on deadline. They don't have time for this. They don't have time for this.
No, not at all.
So.
Hilarious. It's amazing. Okay, I have one more that I think it's more like sex adjacent to the beach, probably. But it's a really beloved book a lot of people liked, which is The Worst Guy by Kate Canterbury. And what I liked about this book, I was really thinking about, like, the beach, is it kind of what it has in common. So it's actually, they're in Boston. They're essentially, like, enemies.
I'm trying to remember when.
Yeah, well, no, what happens is she's going to a conference and he is in the same place. And they essentially, like, meet up, right, at this, like, kind of, there's, like, an interlude in the middle where they are away, essentially, on vacation. Mm. And, right, remember this? And
I do remember. I just don't remember it being at the water. But
yeah. Well, and I think the thing that is interesting about it is, yeah, so, I mean, you know, I remember because I think they, like, go for a walk or whatever. They definitely, I do not think, have sex on the beach. But the thing I thought was interesting about it was... It was a way to leverage the getting away, right? Only instead of one person getting away, they essentially accidentally get away together.
Right.
And when they're in a new place, they can sort of start to interact with each other.
In a different way.
In a different way. They can reset, right? Like the pressure, like being under the microscope of everybody watching them at the hospital. And so I really found myself thinking that it was a really interesting way to, like, okay, you're writing a book and you have your enemies to lovers and you have them like sort of constantly at each other's throats. Like, how are you going to reset it? And I don't think people, I don't think authors use setting enough as a way of like, you know, you put people mm-hmm. in a new place, they're going to start to act differently.
Right.
And I think it's a real object lesson for authors in if you feel stuck or your characters are stuck, what happens when you put them somewhere different together?
Move them from another yeah. place yeah. to another place. Yeah.
And so it's not really beachy in that sense. I mean, it is at the beach, but I think for me it was more like a really smart way to get these people in a different place and then they have to act differently. Mm-hmm. You know, her dad is there and he's a real jerk. And so she's really vulnerable. I mean, there's just like a lot going on. And I just really remember as I was reading the book thinking, this is smart, right? Like, this is a really smart way to move the needle. And I think because a lot of that is, you know, people don't, Americans, right? We're working too much. You know, when you move someone, I mean, It Happened One Summer by Tessa Bailey has this, like, I think there's a lot of ways in which like we're going to move them makes that happen. So,
Obviously there is a Tessa Bailey, there are probably more than one Tessa Bailey with Sex on the Beach, but I want to just name check Make Me, which is her Broken Beautiful series. There's a pretty hot Sex on the Beach scene in that book. We talk about Tessa a lot, so I didn't put it on my, like, official
right.
list.
Right.
But, I want to talk about two YA novels because, you know, some of us are out with our tweens and teens for summer. And I want to talk about two YA novels that I really, really love that obviously do not have sex on the beach but do have beach kissing or sand kissing. Okay. I want to talk about 20 Boy Summer by Sarah Ockler, which is adorable. It's like two best friends. They're in a summer vacation, and they decide with each other, they make a bet with each other, they are going to meet. The vacation that they're on is 20 days long, and they are going to meet one boy every day. And so the odds are if they meet one new boy every day, one of them will be their boyfriend for the rest of the time. But it's nice. Also a best friend's brother. Sort of like a, she's, there's like a, it's sad, this part of it, but she had a like fling with her best friend's brother right before he died. Ooh. And so like, she's still like, everybody's still sore. So it's like a real YA novel. There's a lot of like emotional stuff in there, but it's like a great summer book. And I just want to shout out that. And then I just want to give a nod to Siobhan Vivian, who wrote a book called Stay Sweet, which is about a summer town called Sand Lake. And the heroine, Molly Mead, it's called Sand Lake, and the heroine, Amelia, and her best friend, Kate, have worked at this ice cream stand for several summers, and now they're, like, 17, and it's just, like, an emotional, like, summer coming of age lovely story. So if you are just looking for like a book to give to your tween or teen while you are on vacation at the beach.
Well, I have one more then, because Dahlia Adler's Cool for the Summer would work, which is, it starts off, I think, on the first day of, I think it's senior year, right? Lara is the main character and she has a crush on this boy and he's like sort of this perfect, like football, you know, like sort of classic crush. But she can't help thinking about her previous summer where she had like a perfect night on the beach in the Outer Banks in North Carolina with a girl. And then, of course, what do you think this happens? But this Jasmine ends up transferring somehow to her school.
Sure.
And so now the two objects of her affection and like all the resulting confusion from that, right?
Yeah.
Of course, are there. So, yeah.
I mean, Sarah Dessen basically got me through high school. So,
exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, these emotional books
yes.
that are. like, there's just something about that YA summer romance that
oh, absolutely
just gives you everything you need.
I have vivid memories of a romance I read when I was a kid called The Princess Routine. Mm-hmm. Have I ever talked about this? Where she is like, you know, she's like this, just a pretty girl, pretty rich girl who doesn't like to get dirty. And she ends up going on like a rafting trip, like a whitewater rafting trip with, and like falls in love with like the super hot outdoorsy guy. And I actually bought a copy of it at some point off of, you know, like Amazon or eBay. Cause I was like, I have such vivid memories of the, yeah, like the summer romance books in YA. You're right. They're delightful.
They're so good. In fact, I said high school, but Sarah Dessen started writing when I was well out of college, and I still read all those books. So
perfect.
My favorite Sarah Dessen one is the one with Owen in it, and I can't remember which book it is, but we'll put it
in We'll figure it out. We'll put it in show notes.
Anyway, we hope that you are reading very cool stuff this summer. Tell us if you have a book that has sex on the beach.
I thought you were going to say, tell us if you've had sex on the beach.
No.
You don't have to tell us. Everybody.
You don't have to tell us about that. But you should tell us if you have a book that has sex on the beach that you think we should read, because we're always up for that. Thank you to our sponsors.
Thank you to this week's sponsors, Avon Books, publishers of Tracy Livesey's American Royalty, and SkyMed, a brand new show that you can check out on Paramount Plus.
I'm going to do that right now.
Same.
As always, if you help our sponsors, you'll help us. So thanks so much, and we hope you're reading something great this week. And bye.